What the heck is going on, everybody? It's your guy, Snowbike Mike, back again for another Kind of Funny Games Daily. No, this is the Kind of Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kind of Funny. Got a little confused on the intro, but we're back because it's been one of those mornings.
The vibes are off right off the bat.
Gary and Paris, and Gary, for you, the vibes have been off today. Of course, we are recording this Wednesday, April 12th, 2023, and it is one of those days where you just question as an Xbox gamer, what the heck is going on here? And the vibe has not been good today. Very salty, very uptight. A lot of questions on what the decision making is, because it turns out that Redfall is going to be coming in hot at a solid 30 frames per second at launch.
30 whole frames per second?
30 whole frames, Gary. And we're going to talk about that as the main topic of the show today. But let's get back on track with the gang, of course, because this is the Kind of Funny XCast. It is your home for all things Xbox here at Kind of Funny. I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and I'm joined by my two gaming dads. Let's start off with my dude in the middle, Mr. Paris Lilly. Paris, we've had a long morning together, seeing some fun conversations online. How are you doing, though?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. And yeah, you were a witness to the conversation I was a part of this morning about all this Redfall stuff. But just to give some context on that, yeah, there's a Twitter Spaces I like to join with a lot of passionate Xbox fans, because I like to hear what people are going to say, right? And I knew it was going to be spicy, and it did not disappoint, for sure.
Gary, it was a spectacle. It was something special. A lot of passionate fans out there. A lot of words being thrown around. A lot of hot takes being shared. But, of course, you live in a different world, Gary. You don't worry about Twitter Spaces like that. How's your day been?
It's been all right. I had a play date with my youngest and some other kids, and it was fun. I've been just kind of out there, kind of like living the real world and not worrying about how many fucking frames per second the latest video game is. I've been somewhat immune to the. I saw the news. I saw when it dropped on Twitter. What was it? Early this morning.
Yep.
And I was like, we'll get into it, but like I kind of shrugged because I was like, well, this isn't great, but also I don't really care because I didn't care that much about Redfall. Like, Redfall is not a game that I've. Oh, I can't wait to play Redfall. There's other games. I think I've said before, like, I'm just not that bothered, so it doesn't. It's not going to affect me that much. But we'll get. Look, it's not good enough, right? I think we can all agree that's the bottom line. This ain't it.
No,
we'll get into it.
This ain't it, Gary. This ain't it. And so we're gonna have that conversation today when we jump into the news. But it's nice to be back for another week. Last week, everybody loved the Gary rants. Everybody loved my gamer socks. I don't know if you saw it. Well,
a lot of
people came to my defense. Said great money well spent, Mike, on the gamer socks.
Between me coming in yet last week, feeling in a very I was off. I was in a salty mood, and you waving your ridiculous $70 socks in my face, like the all the ingredients were there for me to go off on one, and indeed I did. We'll see if I don't know if I ever. I mean, I'm in a better mood this. I don't know if I ever rant at me this week, but you know, let's see how the afternoon progresses.
Let's talk about it. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny XCast. We post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, and of course on podcast services around the globe. Don't forget, we are now Epic Games partners, which means if you are buying games off the Epic Games Store, upgrading your look in Rocket League or Fall Guys, or buying that sweet, sweet season pass in Fortnite, please use our Epic creator code KindofFunny at checkout to help support the team in a brand new way. And of course, talking about support, we always like to thank those who support us here in the spare bedroom via Patreon, whether you're watching live and getting ad-free viewing and not having to put up with those pesky ads. Thank you so much for supporting us over on Patreon. And the ones who support us on Patreon at the, of course, tier to be a Patreon producer for the month of April, we want to thank like Tripod Double Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Thank you both for your support over on Patreon. This week, the Kind of Funny XCast is sponsored by Rocket Money. And we'll tell you all about that in just a little bit. Guys, let's get into it. It's hot news coming hot off of the Twitterverse today. Redfall is launching at 30 frames per second. Announced in a tweet from Play Redfall, it reads, Redfall is launching on Xbox consoles with quality mode only. Meaning for you gamers out there, Xbox Series X is going to run at 4K 30. Xbox Series S is running at 1440p at 30 frames per second. A 60 frames per second performance mode will be added via game update at a later date. Paris, Lily, it's 2023. We are 3 years into the new console generation. We're calling it the current gen now. It's not next gen anymore. We've had this conversation with one Gary Whitta, who expects more, expects 60 frames out of his games. Where do we stand? What's going on with this? Tell me all about it.
So actually, to pivot off of what Gary was just saying, that, you know, he didn't necessarily care as much because it wasn't something he was 100% interested in. I'm the opposite end, that I do care for a couple different reasons. You know, going hands on with it during the preview, that got me like, yeah, I want to check this out at launch. I want to play this with my friends. This definitely seems interesting enough for me that I'm going to want to deep dive into it. But I also care for the fact that we're a month away from launch and we're getting this news now. If they would have said this back in December or January or something and given us a little more cushion and time to kind of consume it, I think it would have landed better. But even in that aspect, it still would have come off disappointing. I think the overall consensus, not only myself and just everyone that I've seen talking about this today, is it's disappointing because this is, we're now in the next gen. This is no longer cross-gen stuff, anything like that. We're in the next generation of console gaming. And to tell me that the flagship console for Xbox, the Xbox Series X, because this is the first $70 next-gen only game coming from Xbox Game Studios, can only do 30 frames per second at launch, is disappointing. Yes, you're going to patch this and it's going to get a 60 frames per second update, which is great, but why is it not at launch? I think, and I tweeted this earlier, my biggest thing about this is, I get stuff happens in game development. I'm almost confident that they were aiming for 60 frames at launch. Clearly something has happened on the roadmap in the development cycle. They couldn't hit it. I get it. This happens. You don't want to delay it. Okay. I think you got to get out in front of this with a more detailed explanation as to why, so people understand, because we're at a point in 2023 where, and I know people were pulling up the tweet that Aaron Greenberg had in 2020, but we're at a point where 60 frames per second is pretty much considered a standard now on these next generation consoles, be it a performance mode, quality mode, whatever you want to call it. But it needs to be some tier where there's 60 frames per second. And they obviously were aiming for that. So the fact that you're not doing it, you got to explain to us why, be it in a detailed post on Bethesda or Xbox Wire. I don't know if you get Harvey from Arkane or someone else from the Redfall team to kind of dive into the weeds to explain why. Look, we ran into these issues. We need a little more time. You can expect that we are targeting July or whatever it would be, right? So people at least know. As that stands as just a tweet, I don't know when this patch is coming. Do I dive in day one and play it? Do I hold out and wait a couple months? Do I got to wait 6 months, a year? I don't know, because you're not giving me enough details. And I think you have to be self-aware enough to know that that tweet is going to create a firestorm, because that is what happened today. A firestorm of people with varying opinions and conspiracy theories and all kind of stuff. Like you were in that wild spaces I was in, Mike. People were blaming it on Game Pass, going, this is the Game Pass effect. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. You got to be more crystal clear on this and more transparent when these type of delays happen. And I think one of the big consensus that we've seen today is, why not just delay it? I'm sure there's various reasons. They don't want it to butt up against Starfield, things like that, to maybe that's why they're not delaying. Or maybe the 60 frames per second patch is so far out, it would severely delay the game. But that's the point. We don't know. We're speculating on why. So it's disappointing to hear. I understand from a technical standpoint, a game development standpoint, why this happened, but you had already delayed Redfall out of 2022. We're now in 2023. We're finally at that point where the game's about to go gold, and this is the news you drop on us. It's disappointing because, and I'll say this last thing, you and I, Mike, we both played it during the preview period. I purposely did not worry myself about what the frame rate was, the resolution was during the preview, because number one, we weren't even playing on an Xbox, we're playing on a PC, but it's preview. I never want to judge a game during a preview because we know the game's not finished yet. I want to judge the final product. And here's what's going to happen. It's going to come out in May at 30 frames per second. and it's going to be judged that way. And that is going to be the perception of Redfall for a very long time, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it's going to be. It is not going to be what Arcane is saying is the final product of Redfall, which brings it all back to, why not just delay this until you have, until it's feature complete? We just went through this for the past few years with Halo. I don't want to repeat that again with Redfall. And I think for the reputation of Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda, you don't want to come out the gate with a, your first next-gen only game having these type of issues. Just my opinion.
Paris, very well said, and a lot to unpack here with this conversation. Because, yeah, I can go any which way with you, Paris. And it's funny, I thought of you and Gary when the news broke early this morning, right? It's not a Friday evening when we tried to raise the price of Xbox Gold, right? When we had that conversation of bad news comes out on a Friday. This team said, you know what? Wednesday at about 8:30 Pacific time, let's send this tweet out and we're going to deal with a firestorm, as Paris said, all day long. And it was so interesting to me of like, yeah, Paris, I think this pill would have been a little bit easier to swallow with just a little bit of information behind it, a little bit of help. Hey, a small Twitter video, a blog post, like you said, of like, hey, here's the details that are going into this. This is what we're looking at as a roadmap and timing-wise. But when you just put out a 270-character tweet, it leaves a lot to just anyone to jump on. And as Paris said, speculation, Steve, is out there, right? Is it the Game Pass effect? Is it Xbox Series S holding and dragging us all down? Is it leadership? What is going on? And so, yeah, it was so interesting of like, man, we didn't want to put like a small dev diary or any sort of reasoning behind this. Just, hey, here's the tweet. Figure it out. We'll see y'all in a month. Because Paris just brought up talking about delay. And Gary, you brought up a good one while you and I were in the other room here in the spare bedroom of this May, right around the corner. You're looking at Star Wars and you're looking at Zelda sandwiched right in the middle is Redfall, a game that has had some bad first impressions. And that's what I want to talk with all us about, because for me, Redfall will always be remembered as like, this is a team that never came out with a good first impression for anyone. We didn't know what the game was all about. Is it Left 4 Dead? Is it Far Cry? Is it Borderlands? What's going on here? Okay, we finally figured that out months later. Oh, snap. It's always online. The host is the only one with the progression. What's going on here? And now, a month ahead of launch, we've now figured out it's only at 30 frames. This team has not figured out how to really step out with their best foot forward, and that's been too bad to see. But let's talk about this delay business, Gary, with you and I. I mean, here, first week of May, sandwiched between two big games. Do they really say, hey, let's delay this?
I mean, yeah, first of all, yeah. I mean, it's not a great... If I were working at Microsoft or Arcane or had any interest in, you know, like any investment in Redfall, I wouldn't love that date. Between Jedi Survivor on one side and, like you said, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom on the other, sandwiched in between. Like I said to you before the show, it's like being the middle person in a human centipede. You don't want to be there. That's not where you want to be. There is a feeling that, like, you know, are they sending this game out to die? Like, what's going on here? I mean, they've got to release something, but I don't know. Like, you're also right that the vibes have been off on this game from the beginning. They have struggled to present this game in a positive light. I remember the first, like, cinematic-only trailer they did was, oh, this could be pretty cool. Left 4 Dead kind of vibes. And like you said, is it that? Isn't it that? Like, I think they've struggled to communicate what exactly the game is or to get people excited about it. There's been, like, I guess, like drip, 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 like kind of just negative vibes coming off of this game as they've gone up to release. And this is the last thing they needed. So to speak about this, to speak to the specific issue, you and I have talked about this many times before. In general, rightly or wrongly, maybe I was naive to think this, but when the PS5 and the Xbox Series X came in, at the back end of what was before that, right, the high end before that was the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, where we had gotten used to making that compromise. Do you want performance mode or quality mode? Do you want high frame rate or high resolution? It's like, oh, I can't wait for the next generation to come out, so I won't have to make these compromises anymore. Just 4K 60 all day long. Turns out that wasn't the case. I don't know if I got out over my skis thinking that was going to be the case, but like, I felt like we would be in like full on. You know, it doesn't, like, you know, all those boxes say 4K 60 frames a second. It doesn't say or in the middle. You get the impression that you're going to get both, right? And you do get both, just not at the same time. It sucks. And it particularly sucks because, again, there's a reason why they give you the choice, right? Some people prefer the high definition. Some people prefer the higher frame rate. And depending on who you are, you might feel that one is a better trade-off than the other. For me, given the choice, I'll always do 60. For me, the difference between 30 frames and 60 frames is more noticeable than the difference between 1080p or 1440p or whatever scalable dynamic resolution there may be and full 4K. So the fact that that's not even available at launch, like I was 50-50 on this to begin with, and now I will certainly wait for the patch. Specifically, I think there are certain genres of games that particularly benefit from or suffer from having or not having 60 frames. Driving games, fighting games, and shooters. Right, you want six, and we hear something. See, the PC people are laughing at us right now.
They
60
are
60 frames.
They are, Gary.
60 frames is the dream. Oh my god! Like if I was getting 60 frames on my PC, I'd be wondering what's wrong with it. Anything under 100 is a joke. Obviously those are much more expensive machines, and it's a whole different vibe. But like here we are arguing about 30 versus 60. To Paris's point, yes, there should be more clarity than just like. But there's that tweet, I think, for a lot of people felt like a slap in the face. If you came up and slapped me in the face, I'm not sure you explaining to me why you did that would make me feel much better about it.
True.
Still slapped me in the face. They should explain why, but we already know what it's going to be. It's going to be something along the lines of, oh, you know, in order to bring the game to you and the expected, we didn't want to disappoint you or delay it. There had to be certain compromises, but, you know, don't worry. It's still going to be cool at 30 frames and we'll get it to you later. Like, there'll be some, like, bullshit explanation that they'll come up with. It probably is. I'm sure the developers didn't want to do this. I'm sure they were trying as hard as they could to ship it, you know, 60 frames at launch. And for whatever reason, they just couldn't do it. It's not that they're lazy or can't be bothered. They just couldn't do it. And I'm sure they're as unhappy as anyone else. But at the end of the day, we're here not, you know, to be developer apologists, but to be advocates for people that buy and play the games. And from that point of view, it's not good enough.
Paris, what do you got for me?
Yeah, just going back to what Gary was talking about before with, you know, the game coming out and waiting on the patch. I think that's another reason why maybe this isn't necessarily a great idea to put it out in May. Like you mentioned, you got Zelda, you got Jedi Survivor. It's coming out around that time. You now have this negative viewpoint about the game because it's not at what you expected it to be. And look, I get there's average Joes that are not going to care about frames per second and all that. Maybe there's data out there that's showing most people wouldn't give two shits about it being 60 frames, but people that watch the show, people that are engaging on social media, they care about that stuff. This is why they talk about these things at showcases and all this stuff about 60 frames and the importance of it. So when you're not delivering that, most people are going to go, well, then I'm not playing this at launch. I'm going to wait on the patch. I think that's going to be a common theme that you're going to hear, because take us out of the equation, because maybe we review it or whatever and we're going to play it. Most people are going to go, do I want my experience with Redfall to be at 30 when I know it's going to come again at 60? And I don't know ahead of time if this is going to be a game that I necessarily want to keep replaying over and over. You may go have a run with your friends, go through all the characters one time at 30 frames, and now you're putting it down. And then right after that, that's when the 60 frames comes out. And now you don't have the incentive to want to go back and play anymore. Not to mention, sure, you might subscribe to Game Pass and you're able to play it, but then you're going to have people. Most people that pick up Redfall are not going to play it on Game Pass. Let's just put it that way. Most people are going to wind up spending $70 for it. That's what the numbers tell us. Do I really want to spend $70 for Redfall and it's not feature complete? That's what it comes down to.
It's not like New Game Plus or something that it's okay to patch in down the road. This is stuff that you have, I think, as you have a right to expect this shit on day one.
Day one, Gary.
A couple of things. I wonder if there is going to be another shoe that drops in the next few days where maybe they didn't expect the reaction to be this negative, and maybe they will do a reverse ferret, as we say in my homeland.
Put it back in the hole.
Say, hey, no, we heard you. We're going to delay it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I feel like that could happen because the reaction has been really, really bad. You only get one chance to make a first impression.
Yes.
Right. And I wonder if, like, if it comes out and then it's suffering because of the frame rate, when 60 frames drops, let's say 2, 3, 4 months from now, whenever it might be, you don't get the same kind of it. There'll be a quick like round of headlines. Oh, the 60 frame mm-hmm. mode, mm-hmm. but you're not going to get like people want to play this stuff when it's new. But here's the other big problem that just occurred to me about the launch and being sandwiched in between Jedi Survivor and Tears of the Kingdom, which are absolutely two of the biggest game releases of the year. Right. Absolutely. Two of the biggest. Tears of the Kingdom, arguably the biggest. It's not like, oh, well, I don't care about those games. I just want to play Redfall. The meat of this game is a four-player multiplayer game. You better hope that all your buddies are on board as well, and they're not too busy going, fuck off, I'd rather play Jedi Survivor or Tears of the Kingdom, because I guarantee you a lot of them are going to be. I feel like if I'm Redfall, like, ride or die, am I going to be able to round up three buddies that want to go with me, or are they going to be too busy playing Jedi Survivor and Tears of the Kingdom?
Have a tough time.
That's risky business.
Yeah, that's my thing, is the first impression. Like, you brought up Paris and Gary, right? It's like, we saw this already happen with Halo, right? Think about how many people actually went back to Halo when they finally got content, when they finally added in campaign co-op, right? Like, you had played that. You've been there, done that.
That happened to me. Remember, they added all the new content, but I didn't go back.
You didn't go back, Gary. And so here's the issue, is if this game comes out on May 2nd at 30 frames per second, a huge population is already going to miss this, right? If it comes out mid on top of that, if this game isn't a banger, do you think 6 months from now when they go, hey, it's finally 60 frames, a whole bunch of people are going
to
come back?
Let me ask you a question. This to you and Paris, because you both played it, right, at the event. Did either of you get the sense that the game is good enough to overcome this? That it's like, oh, maybe we're making a big deal. Maybe it drops at 30 frames. You know what? It's still a great game. Like, we made a big deal out of it, but like, it plays really great at 30 frames, and like, maybe it wasn't that big a deal. Or do you feel like it's gonna? Here's the thing: you can't not notice it now, right? Like, because this has been the biggest story of the day. And so when the game, it's going to be on your mind when you play this game. Oh, that 60 frame mode is not there.
Right. I mean, I've been the most lukewarm on this, and I started to have a more positive reception after that preview. I would still say no, Gary is right. This is going to be a major impact to this game right now for me on my side, to the point where it's like, ooh, that's not helping at all right now.
I think they're seriously, I mean, I'm sure the people at Xbox whose job it is to monitor this kind of thing are monitoring it very closely and going, ooh, the kickback on this was worse than we thought. Maybe we should reconsider. Like, how important is? We've talked so many times about, like, there are reasons why companies have to hit certain dates for, like, you know, financial quarterly reporting and stuff like that. Particularly when you get to the end of the year, that's why Cyberpunk shipped when it did, even though they knew it was a broken mess at the time. But like, surely in a post Cyberpunk world, I've said this a million times on this show, we all recognize now that there is virtually no benefit to shipping an incomplete game by a certain date. Like, no one's going, oh, this game's got all kinds of problems, but at least it came out today. Like, no one gives a shit if it's not what you want it to be. Better to wait. And I think if I get my advice to Microsoft, for whatever it's worth, is based on this reaction, if it is in any way practically possible for them to hold this until they can, they could turn this into a win. They could turn this into, like, the new cycle becomes, oh, we're responsive to our customers. We did, you know, it's still going to be great, but like, given that you've expressed so passionately that you want this to ship a certain way, we're gonna hold it, and we're gonna do that, and we're gonna ship it the right way. Yeah. And that could be a win for them. But right now, it's, you know, they're struggling.
Paris, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but see, that's actually what I'm shocked about right now. That isn't what the play was today. In that, you have lessons learned from Halo, Battlefield 2042.
Yep.
Obviously Cyberpunk as well, on various degrees. Like, it's ironic this week, Mike, you know, we've all been playing Cyberpunk again because, you know, the big, you know, ray tracing update that they had on PC. And even while I was going through that, just thinking, my God, imagine if this was the game at launch. Imagine if this is what we got at launch for Cyberpunk. I think it might have been the greatest selling game of all time. And look, it has taken that game about 3 years to recapture the goodwill that they should have had at launch, right? But that also took CD Projekt Red sticking to their guns and continue to iterate and update this game and support it. I don't know if Redfall is necessary. And look, I'm not saying Redfall is going to be a technical mess and all this stuff, but the 30 frames per second thing does matter. It matters enough to the most hardcore people of your audience, of your community, that play these type of games. And to answer Gary's initial question, I do think this impacts what Redfall will be at launch. 100% I do. Even after playing it, I think there's enough good there that I want to play it. I want to explore it with my friends. But I think this, again, perception is reality. And that's what I mean. It's like, this has a negative perception towards the game. Let's just keep it real. IGN's video was a negative perception towards the game. People saw that. People are going to see that video, and they're not going to go, day one. You're not going to say that watching that video. That's just a God honest truth. So it almost would have been better, like you're saying, Gary, get in front of the narrative. If you need to delay this thing, spin it as a positive, going, I know what we promise, but we are committed to delivering a quality product no matter when you get it.
To your point, Paris, I completely agree with you. The more I think about it, the more it does seem like an unforced error, and the more it seems like a surprise. If they are surprised, I'm surprised that they're surprised, basically.
Yeah,
because,
right?
Again, we've seen enough case studies to know, and we talked about this many times before as well, we live in an age now, especially coming out of COVID and all the other challenges, that games are being delayed on the regular. And we hate it so much when games ship in an unfinished or unsatisfactory way, that when usually if you look at the last 5 or 10 times that a company said, oh, we've had to delay the game, go look at the Twitter responses, go look at the chatter, and people are generally, oh, well, that's a bummer, but like, absolutely. Like, you do what you got to do to ship it right. Delay, we'll be here when the game's ready. People are generally understanding about that. But shipping a game without the features that people are expecting never goes across well. So it's like, given the two choices, why did they make the choice that seems like obviously the wrong one that people were not going to react well to?
So weird, Gary, because we're coming from an Xbox team that's all about, hey, we're empowering the developers, we're here to support them, and we'll give them as much time as needed. This game has already been delayed.
It's not like this is the holiday. We kind of go like, oh, yeah, it's like it was originally November release. Like, they have to, you know, because like when you get into the fourth quarter, it's like game sales go up because people give gifts and stuff like that. So you kind of, and it's the end of the year, financial reporting and stuff, like, you've kind of got to hit it, and like, we're just going to have to bite the bullet on this one. It's not that. It's April.
Yeah.
Right now. They can move this.
And it's not like we're holding to the last summer when we said all these games will be out in the next 12 months, because we've already pushed Starfield.
Yes.
Forza doesn't even have a date. So at this point, we're not holding to that in any way, shape, or form. So why not, Paris? Because you're so right. Of like, let's not ruin this now. Come out. Paris said it. You said it so well, Paris. It's like, get ahead of it and just say, hey, we're trying to deliver you the best product. We got to delay this.
And the thing is, this is coming off the back of, again, to Paris's point, the IGN video is not well received. Like I said, the vibes have been off from the start. They have been dealing with prevailing headwinds in terms of the attitude and the media and the kind of the online chatter about this game. Like, again, there's not been a good vibe around this game. That provides the background and the context for this latest thing. Just was, oh, and this on top of everything else? You know, it's not just oh, like, everyone was like super hyped on this game, but now there's this like one setback. People, there was people were kind of like, I don't know about this game, and then this on top of everything else. It's just, this is the worst possible way for them to be launching this game. Maybe they don't care. Maybe Microsoft just decided this is not a super high priority title for them, and they're banking everything on Starfield or whatever.
That's crazy, Gary, because this is one of their big four.
I mean, that was how it was initially presented.
Yeah.
But again, maybe internally they're looking at the game and going, "This game ain't gonna be it." Like, they know it's not that great. I don't know.
Paris, what do you got?
Yeah, but yeah, see, that actually goes in again to the initial point that we were talking about. This is your lead game into being a quote unquote next gen only Series X game, right? This is the one. This is the opening that floodgate to, here's our $70 games that we're going to start charging you for moving forward. So again, first impressions. What is the marketing tagline for the Xbox Series S? The world's most powerful console. So you're telling me the world's most powerful console cannot deliver this game at the 60 frames per second that you should expect for this type of game, right? Being a shooter. Like I said, the scenario I see is, I would rather them push this back into July or August versus putting it out now, because you already got a Murderer's Row coming, like we said, with Jedi, Zelda, Diablo, Street Fighter, Final Fantasy 16. There's so many other things that are happening around that time that maybe pushing it into the summer, which is what it originally was supposed to be, was a summer game, makes the most sense. And yeah, maybe it doesn't get the full breathing room that it would have had, and, you know, trying to avoid Starfield. Maybe it's in August and Starfield still comes in September, right? But now you can say Forza in October, Hellblade in November, whatever they're going to have for the roadmap for the rest of the year. But it's a quality game versus an incomplete game with all this negative connotation around it. I think that plays better, in my personal opinion. That look, if I was in charge, this is what I would do.
Agreed.
You
know? I mean,
do you think it's too late, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation?
Now it is.
And yeah, now it is. And especially with it being a hot topic, maybe you just get it out now, sandwiched in between things, and you have more eyes on it, more people being like, well, it's on Game Pass, I'll check it out. And, you know, people with that morbid curiosity to see how much of a quote-unquote shit show it is, rather than delaying it where all this hubbub is happening now. Now that's died down, and then fewer people are checking out the game because it's like, oh, yeah, that happened like 5 months ago.
But see, don't you also, you know, and I hinted at this at the beginning because I was hearing this, you know, this morning in that spaces I was in, like, you don't want Game Pass to be used as an excuse. Game Pass is supposed to be a supplement, bring value to the games and all that stuff, the stuff that we've been talking about the past few years, versus just a dumping ground for games that you don't think is going to be successful. You want, again, you want to establish the quality of these games. And I'm not saying Redfall's not going to be a quality game. I mean, it being 30 frames doesn't mean it's not going to be a great game, but it's the perception again.
Yeah,
and everybody thought it was 60. Yeah.
And speaking to the perception question, and we, as you said before, the biggest problem, the biggest existential problem that Xbox has right now is not enough top shelf AAA games.
Yep,
and Redfall was supposed to be the first chapter in Microsoft's answer to that question, and it's stumbling out of the gate.
Yeah. This is our year, Gary. We've been saying it for years, and we thought that this was our year.
Maybe next year.
And it feels like it's another moment of, like, maybe next year, or here's the rake on the ground, and we're going to smack ourselves in the face with it, because this was the year. Starfield, Redfall, Minecraft Legends. All of a sudden, you got Hi-Fi Rush releasing out the gate. Age of Empires console, right? Redfall. And it's just like, man, oh, man. If this isn't Forza, the year,
I mean, those other games aren't affected. They may all still be bangers, but, like, I don't know. Maybe Redfall is the dud in the bunch. They can't all be bangers, right? Yeah. So I don't know. It's unfortunate. I personally hope that they delay it. I know that certainly, I think there are a lot of people that are like me that are like, I'll play it when the patch comes out.
Yeah.
And that means it's going to kind of land with a thud at launch. Yeah. And maybe the best they can hope for is like, when the patch drops, there's a round of press and a round of chatter like, oh, it's great now. Like, now you should go check it out. And maybe they'll have like a second chance to launch it. But why not just get it right the first time when they know they can?
Don't let it suck to play. Don't let it be mid. That's going to be bad.
No.
Paris, what do you got for me?
Oh, I'll just say this one last thing as I know we're wrapping up topic. Starfield.
Okay, that's where I was going to go with this, Paris.
Okay. Okay, well, then I'll just kick it off by saying this. You know, I was saying this leading up to the launch of Halo Infinite, and, you know, people got mad at me, and here we are. It cannot be okay. It has to be great. And whatever that Starfield Direct is going to be in June, I don't know what the script is now, but you can edit it in right now. You better talk about what the frame rate's going to be. Because they're going to be looking for that now. People are going to want to hear, what is the frame rate for Starfield going to be? Is there quality mode, performance mode? What are you doing on the Series X and the S?
This is a great cautionary tale. I mean, they're getting a preview of like what that would be like. If they end up having to make a similar announcement about some kind of, because they can't push it again, right? They locked the Starfield now, that date, they can't move it. Right, because they moved it once or twice already. They've locked it in. They did a video that was just about here's the date, and all the letters kind of faded in.
We
and, like,
wrote
CGI.
That in pen at one point, Gary. It
What's
was
that?
In pen. It was in ink.
Oh, it was like tattooed.
It was
Todd Howard may have it like tattooed on his forehead.
Yeah,
backwards. So anytime he looks in the mirror, he sees what the date is.
Tough.
They can't move it again.
No, you can't.
So any compromise has to come from the game, not from the date. And so here's the cautionary tale. Here's a game that people have like middling expectations of, and everyone shit the bed when they said it won't have 60 frames. So again, I'm not worried about Starfield. I think that, I don't know. We said it before, like Halo Infinite, right? Too big to fail.
Yeah.
We know nothing's too big to fail anymore. Everything can fail. And so I don't. To me, it's the Starfield situation. That's unthinkable. I've got to. I'm going to continue to keep the faith.
That's the wild part about it, as Paris brought up, right? Like, the gaming community, the eye was on Redfall early in the morning, the conversation, and then quickly it became the realization of like, oh, Xbox, Bethesda, turn your attention now to like, Starfield is the next big game. Starfield is the game that needs to be the game of the generation, needs to be the moment for Xbox, and now our attention is turned to Todd and his team and say, hey, what's up with that
How
frame
are we
per second?
Still
homie?
Here. Fucking the Super Nintendo ran games at 60 frames a second. I know that's a bullshit comparison, but like, how are we still playing games in this generation at 30 frames a fucking second? And like, I really thought the compromise would be over. And it's, for a second, I was thinking, well, maybe on the next generation, the compromise would be over. But that won't happen because by the time the PlayStation 6 and the Xbox Series whatever comes out, it'll be 8K 120. oh, well, now why have we got to choose between 60 and 120 or 4K and 8K? We're always going to be making these bullshit compromises. It's just like playing an RPG. You're doing the same shit, but the numbers keep getting bigger.
That's your thing. Let's end this one with one final question, boys. We've seen it before. They've reversed course on decisions before on Friday at 7 o'clock at night once. Are we going to see a reverse course and a possible announcement this week or next that this game is delayed?
I'll answer your question with a question. I have not, like I said, I was out of the house this morning. I was vaguely aware of the fact that I guess people are going to be disappointed. It wasn't until I came in here and I saw people rending their garments and like tearing their hair out. I mean, Paris, you're on that Twitter Spaces. I feel like you've got a better finger on the pulse. Like out of 1 to 10, like how big of a trash fire is this? Like how pissed off are people about this?
Oh, that one I was in was a 12.
Yeah, okay. Mega hot.
It was a 12 because they were upset because it just comes off as how much longer do we have to wait to get the things that you promised?
Right.
That's what it came down to. It was a thing of, and again, let's just keep it real here for a second. It was a comparison to what PlayStation was doing the past few years to what Xbox was doing. At least PlayStation was saying, we're giving you Horizon Forbidden West. You got Gran Turismo. You're about to get Spider-Man. They gave you God of War. They gave you all these things. And then you compared it to what Xbox has done. They've not lived up to that. And then here you are with the game that is basically kicking off the next generation for you, the first next-gen only game, and it's not feature complete. And we just had that 2 years ago with Halo. That was kind of the sentiment that I saw in there of, at what point do I stop believing you when you tell me you're going to deliver on something?
Right.
It's tough. Paris, are they going to reverse course and delay this game?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. I'm going to lean towards no. I think the game itself is basically about to go gold if it hasn't already, because the thing about it, reviews and all that, you would imagine is going to happen in the next week or two. So I think we're too close. I think it's too close to delay it now. I think they're just going to take their medicine, put it out, get the patch out when they can, and just move forward.
All right. You know what? I'll be on the opposite side just for fun of the conversation. I think that on Friday we hear a conversation and we see the blog post go out that it will be delayed 3 months.
What we don't know is, what does it mean to Microsoft to delay it, right? Like, right. Do they take some kind of big logistical or financial hit by delaying it? If they've, let's say they've already printed, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of discs, and they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere, and you know, now they have to store them in a warehouse for another 3 months or whatever. I don't know. There's all kinds of reasons why, like, because if it wasn't that big a deal to delay it, then they just would. But there's got to be, like, again, we may never know, but there's got to be some internal reason why delaying it would hurt 100%. Them in some way. So it's a question like, what's the path of like least pain here? Delaying it or shipping the version that people are not going to be happy with on day one?
Well, in reality, Game Pass has been being carried by third-party partnerships this whole time. Indies and third-party partnerships. We haven't been getting incredible first parties. We haven't been getting the level that we want at the timing that we want it to
be. Given that this is the...
I mean, again, Game Pass is just getting carried by that.
My personal kind of lack of interest in Redfall as a game just in and of itself aside, if you're thinking about this as an observer, given that this was supposed to be the first game in the kind of the new wave of, aha, we are going to answer the question of Microsoft not having enough like AAA bangers. We bought Bethesda, look, and now we're going to bring you all this stuff, and Redfall is going to be the first entry. Again, it ain't a great look in that you know, as that effort now starts to bear fruit.
Tough one. It's been a tough day today as of recording on this Wednesday. We will see what happens in the coming weeks as we lead up to that May 2nd release. And we'll see what happens with that team over at Arkane and Bethesda and, of course, Team Xbox with this big title. But let's take a word from our sponsors and then let's bring a smile to your face. So we'll be right back.
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Let's lighten the mood. Let's get loose a little bit because, man, oh, man, it's been tense in the spare bedroom. It's been tense in the Twitter sphere here in the Xbox side of things. A lot of hot-blooded takes here, but let's bring some fun to it. Personally, what the heck did Xbox Australia New Zealand tweet out? Because, of course, they decided to take to Twitter and said, guess what this could be with the question face emoji? And it's a banjo. It's a kazoo and an E. Paris Lily, banjo kazooie for real?
You know, I saw that and I quote tweeted it, and I did the Avengers Endgame gif where, you know, Hawkeye's like, don't give me hope. You know, I'm sure this is just a little cheeky tweet from them. They're obviously not going to give away any major surprise that they potentially could have at whatever the Xbox showcase is going to be in June. But obviously, would I love to see Banjo-Kazooie come back? Of course, I've been talking about it for years. So it's we're beyond time at this point. You know, we've talked about this so much. That is an IP that Xbox has in their back pocket that, you know, especially we just saw the Super Mario Brothers movie come out, and it's like, look at all the goodwill that Mario has. Banjo could have that if they were to bring that IP back. I really do. It was a great platformer for its time, and I think it can work now. Banjo can 100% work now. A few tweaks here or there, but it absolutely can work in today's market. And as we've talked a million times, Xbox needs a major platformer. They don't have it. You know, I think the closest we have right now is Psychonauts 2. I mean, you could say Ori, but nothing on the level of obviously what a Mario has been. And I think Banjo, if they do it right, can get to that level. I really do.
I agree with that, Paris. I think it's sorely needed here in the Xbox ecosystem. And, you know, doing a little bit of research into Banjo for my good friend Paris Lily to be prepared for this conversation, it just seems a perfect fit for right now with what we need on this Game Pass library, filling out and checking all the boxes, right? It's just like a perfect mix of like, this is going to bring family smiles. It's going to bring the nostalgia for older gamers. It's just going to be a good game to just slide right in there and have some fun with. I mean, it's got the characters, it's got the worlds, it's got the banging music. What more could you ask for here, Gary?
I mean, a part of me kind of hopes that they never bring it out just so that we can continue to like meme about it. Once they bring it out, we can't talk about it anymore. It'll be out. It's like, I kind of feel like it's the longest run. This and Half-Life 3 become like the longest running joke, and always be a sad to see that come to an end. And as much as I would hesitate to put Banjo-Kazooie in the same universe as Mario, I feel like it's several leagues below that in terms of, you know, like its impact as a platformer. Mm-hmm. It is what Microsoft has. And it ain't nothing. Banjo-Kazooie's got a lot of goodwill for it, like for it out there, as you say. And as we have, again, I feel like this almost feels like a remix of like things we've said on other editions of the show. But it is a massive, glaring hole in their portfolio right now. Sony has got, you know, Sackboy and Ratchet and Clank and Crash Bandicoot, and that they're well served. Nintendo, you don't even need to talk about it. Xbox has nothing. Super Lucky's Tale, come on, they've got nothing in that
space.
Well,
if they buy Activision, they'll have
Crash.
Yeah,
they'll have Crash. Yeah. Who owns Bubsy? Because I feel like Bubsy's overdue for a comeback.
Shout out to Bubsy.
Yeah.
What about Voodoo Vince? Blink the Time Sweeper.
Oh my God. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
I mean, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go?
I mean, it's a fun tweet to put out there, and it's an interesting one. Paris, of course, like I said, Australia, New Zealand Xbox team, right? So, of course, they're not going out there leaking a big event that's going to happen or a big announcement. But is it just for fan engagement? Is it just for smiles? Could we see a remake, remaster? Like, what could
they got exactly what they wanted out of it. That's exactly what that was designed to do.
Yep, 100%.
And that's all that matters. Yeah, right. So hopefully we will see that for Paris' sake and, of course, for gamers around the globe to have some fun and smile about. So we'll see where that goes.
I would love it because it's something I could play with my kid. Again, it's something the Xbox sorely needs. I believe, if you ask me, like, what does my gut tell me? Somewhere that game is in development.
Yeah.
That's what my gut tells me, too. I've wavered back and forth. Do you come out the gate with basically kind of a remake / reimagining of the first game, or do you just continue on from where they basically left off Banjo, you know, when it was on the Nintendo 64? I think regardless of what they do, just from a gameplay standpoint, obviously you want to keep the traditional platforming features that are already in the game and unique abilities of using Banjo and Kazooie together. But I think you obviously need to add more movesets into that. I could see them making Grunty or like Mumbo Jumbo playable and kind of leveraging some of that. Obviously, let's introduce some new characters into the mix as well. There's different things to do. And again, the comparison's always going to be with Mario. But when I think about Mario or even think about like a Donkey Kong Country, it's a thing of even more specifically Mario, I should say. Mario has crossed so many different genres, and they've continued to just reinvent Mario over the years. That's obviously when this movie came out, you had so many Easter egg and nostalgia moments. I think that could be the play here, where you come out with a traditional platformer of Banjo, but you take those characters and you start to put them into other things as well and build that universe up, build up that Banjo-Kazooie universe. I think, to me, there's a grand opportunity to do that, because what if the other thing we've obviously talked a million times about with Xbox, they don't have a mascot other than Master Chief. Master Chief and Cortana is basically the mascot. They don't have really anything beyond that. Maybe they might get that now with Hi-Fi Rush. We'll see where that goes. But I'll say again, Banjo has just been sitting in your back pocket for 20 years, and the only time they've used him is for Nuts and Bolts, which was a different take on Banjo, but at that time, that wasn't what people wanted. And I don't think you come out the gate with another Banjo doing something different. I do think it needs to be a traditional platformer first before you try something else.
I'm depressed, Mike.
Tell me, Gary. It's been a somber, uptight day. Tell me about it, Gary.
All I know, this is the vibe I'm getting right now from this episode of
Gary.
I'm passionate about Xbox. I love Xbox, as you know. I play my Xbox way more than I play my PS5. I'm an Xbox guy. We're here wearing the Xbox green. I'm an Xbox person, as you know. Ever since the original one, 20 years I've been playing Xbox. I love Xbox, but I'm telling you right now, if I'm a platform warrior, if I'm one of these guys go, oh, Xbox sucks, PlayStation 5 sucks. If I'm one of those guys and I'm a PlayStation guy and I'm watching this show right now, I'm laughing my fucking head off.
You are.
This whole show is going to be like, oh, this highly anticipated game is probably going to be shit now, but maybe fucking Banjo-Kazooie will come out. Like, you sound pathetic. We sound fucking desperate, Mike.
It's a tough situation.
We desperately need a fucking win. I need a W on the board.
We need a match.
Because we are taking L after L after L. This is the fucking, this ain't the X-Cast, Mike. This is the fucking L-Cast.
Don't worry.
Now.
There's next year, Gary. We'll be there next year.
Yeah, next year.
You sound like a Cleveland sports fan, Mike. Seriously. It's always next year.
This is going to be the year.
It's been a tough ride. And, of course, it's only going to get a little bit tougher because we have to say goodbye to an Xbox vet. Of course, Joseph Staten has left Microsoft. On April 7th, Rebecca Valentine from IGN, What Up, reported that Joseph Staten, former head of creative of Halo Infinite and recently served as creative director at Xbox Publishing, is now leaving Microsoft. So, the tweet from Joe reads, hey, folks, I'm indeed leaving Microsoft. I'll have more info to share soon. But for now, I'd just like to thank all of my Xbox colleagues for all their understanding and support as I embark on a new adventure. We had Joe on the show, of course. Shout out to Big Joe Staten, a staple in the original Xbox trilogy. Y'all know that he was the cinematic director for the first three Halos. He helped create what Halo is as a story. Of course, laid some of the groundwork over in Destiny and then came back and kind of set the tone for the Halo Infinite when we took a new turn and tried to get that out there. So shout out to Big Joe for everything he's done on the Xbox side. Sad to see him go out of the Microsoft family, of course, as he was serving with Team Xbox with the Xbox publishing stuff. But another kind of sad note.
I know. Like I said, is that, like, do we have any good news? Cheer me up.
I got some good news. You and I are going to bust out our wallets right now.
Okay.
Because we're going to design a brand new Xbox Elite controller.
Okay.
But Paris, any word on Joseph Staten there, of course, embarking on a new adventure?
I mean, it's bittersweet. I had even tweeted out at the time, you know, when it came out that, you know, he's been somewhat responsible for like the last 20 years of my entertainment, right? Obviously, just all the work that he had done with Bungie in the past, and then now obviously coming in, you know, with 343, you know, to, you know, work on Halo Infinite. You know, like you said, we had him here on the show, and I've always just appreciated his honesty. That he had, like, even when he was on here and he was talking about Halo Infinite and the things that he was working on, he was pretty candid and straightforward about it. So I've always appreciated that. And I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer on this episode, like Gary was saying, but it's like, I feel like Xbox has lost another asset. He came in as basically the fixer to 343, you know, for Halo Infinite. And that's a guy that you would want around, you know, with your internal studios. When you see another game that may need some help, he can come in and do some of the heavy lifting and get things on track. You know, Rod Ferguson was someone that was also similar to that, who did leave. And I guess he's about to come back when the acquisition goes through. But it's bittersweet. I mean, like I said, I think I'd even told him the story directly, you know, when he came on, that I'll never forget that Halo 2 demo they had at E3, and he was the guy that was doing it. And I probably ran through that line about four times that week, because that's just how awesome it was. And again, he's just always been a good guy. So it will be interesting to see where he lands moving forward and what he'll be doing.
Shout out. See you, Joe. Take care of yourself. We'll be rooting on wherever you go next. Gary, let's turn this vibe around. Let's have some fun. Yeah, let's get ready to bust out my wallet, because I'm about to buy something I don't need, Gary, because we got brand new colors
therapy
hitting the Xbox Design Labs.
Here's another. Oh, no. Here we
four.
Go. It was taking forever to load. Oh, okay. I thought I was going to have to deliver another bummer that the site won't load.
For your Xbox Elite Series 2 controller, you have new colors now hitting the map, so you have 16 big colors for your body. You have up to 25 colors on different accent pieces and 17 buttons for paddles and D-pads. So you have a whole lot of new colors coming to Design Labs to elevate your Xbox Elite controller.
Of these ones, do we know what the new ones are?
So the new ones are going to be some on the back, like that glacier blue. You're going to have mineral blue, midnight blue, and then this nocturnal green, I believe, are all new to me.
Okay.
So I would say probably it's like, these ones after the yellow, I believe they're
kind of a military vibe there. Yeah.
We're going to go into that. So, yeah, Gary, you know, this is one. Of course, we'd love to
break the bank. Give me some of that cyan, whatever that cyan one is. What is that?
It's like that cyan.
I like cyan.
Okay, that's going to be the Velocity Green.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Blue, okay.
I like that.
Yeah, I like this Glacier Blue a lot. It's kind of like a soft Gatorade blue, if you think about that Glacier Freeze, of course. So I'm digging the mineral blue and the Glacier Blue.
It's got a freshness to it that I like, yep.
If you go on over to, of course, the accent pieces that have a whole lot of options in there, you can check out your thumbsticks, you can check out your bumpers. Those have now 25 options to choose from that give a nice little accent to all of your colors there as well. Gary Witta, they continue to elevate this. Of course, I'm still not a massive fan of the big black rubber grips.
Yeah.
It just does impact my color.
I kind of wish you could. Can you at least like make that white?
You cannot.
Okay.
Cannot affect the rubber grips on this one. So you will always have that kind of just thick black color on this. So you kind of have to plan around that, in my opinion.
Yeah, and as we were saying before the show, the thing that annoys me, there's still no share button. I know you can map it to another button, and there's all these kind of cool things you can do with mappable buttons and alt buttons and stuff. But like, why is there still no share button? Like, it's a basic feature of the Xbox current generation controller,
yeah,
and it's missing from the premiere version of the. It's kind of like when that when they brought out that the DualSense Edge and it had shittier battery life than the basic. It's like, why is this worse than the basic one? This is one I like the Elite controllers. I've got two of them. They're very, very good. But I don't understand why we don't have a dedicated share button the way we have on every other controller.
I'm loving the elevation of the face buttons. They have some really good face button options here. Of course, you can customize the awesome case that it comes in with, yep, your own little Xbox colorway that you'd like to put on this. But once again, continuing to make it your own, whether you're designing for the Xbox Elite controller or you're designing for just a basic Xbox controller, you have so many options, some fun ones for all of you out there. Remember, always share your designs with me, Paris, and Gary. We love to see what you all create. Paris, Lily, are you breaking the bank? Are we buying a new controller for the summertime? Where do you fall on this?
I told you this offline, and I'll just keep it real on here too. No, I got too many controllers as it is.
Yeah, the last thing I need is another controller. Yeah, that's right,
the last, but it is awesome to have Design Labs, to have this, to be able to customize these controllers. Like, who was it? Was it Jason Ronald? I think it was Jason Ronald. I saw just posted like one he customized, and it was pretty dope. Yeah. Really cool. So there's definitely a lot of awesome combinations that you can do. I will say again to something Gary was bringing up, I do wish the rubber color was customizable as well. I'm sure that's a lot harder, probably more expensive to be able to do, you know, just from a supply standpoint.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I wish, as we look to keep this positive, when Starfield comes out and it's awesome, I wish there would be a Starfield custom Elite controller. Right?
Maybe there will be. They did one for Halo Infinite.
No. Yeah. That's my point. Yeah. I do want to see more of those. I want to see more of the actual IP-specific custom Elite controllers, not just the standard controllers, which obviously they've done an awesome job with that.
The but degree to which you can customize these now is genuinely cool, right? I mean, this is something that, I mean, I like the DualSense a lot, and you do get four different colors now, but nothing even vaguely close to this. Is this the win that we're putting on the board, Mike?
Because this is our win for the day. This is our win for the week. This is the win for the week.
Okay.
Not the biggest win, but it's a win.
I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
Yeah, we're going to take this win. It's an important one for all of us right now, so we can make it out of the week and hopefully have a better week next week.
I need this and fucking Zoloft.
I will say, for all of you that don't have an eye for design or many, you know, get along well with colors, they always do have the recommended ones where they base it off of certain games like Minecraft Legends and other games like that. So you can kind of get their colorway going and maybe give you an idea of where you want to go with it. You can outright buy that kind of colorway, or of course, most importantly, you can create your own. So keep an eye out for that. But guys, that is going to be the end of this week's show. Kind of a hot show, a testy show, a downer show. We can say that. We can all look at it.
Yeah, I mean, like, not every week is going to be sunshine and rainbows, right?
You know, Gary, it was very interesting. I'll open up. I'll pull everybody behind the curtain really quick as we end this show. Of course, sometimes in the Xbox world each week, we don't have any news. And I look around, I look to Paris, I look to Gary, I look to Baird, and I go, what are we going to talk about, guys? We got to come up with a topic. And we all come together and we workshop some different topics of what we can do. And then sometimes I come out of the gym at 6:30 in the morning. We just get blessed with some Xbox news.
You're at the gym at 6:30 in the morning?
Uh-huh. Oh, and unfortunately, it's bad Xbox news. So that's how this week went. It was bad Xbox news. It's a flip of a coin.
I guess
here,
bad news is better than no news. You know, it gives us something to get salty about. And you know, we're in the hot take industry. So
exactly.
Bad news for Xbox, but not necessarily bad news. It's like, you know, when there's a war, like wars are terrible, right? But the fucking cable networks love it because their ratings go through the roof.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get a lot of views. We'll have a lot of good conversation in the comments about 30 frames, 60 frames. What do you expect? And of course,
I'm going to skip the comments this week.
The question will always be asking better from Team Xbox, holding them accountable and saying, hey, how can we be better the next time, right? And I think we had that conversation of getting out in front of the messaging, questioning, hey, are we making the right calls during this development cycle and giving those that are creating the games that we love the amount of time and resources available to make the best thing possible?
I mean, listen, I mean, we know that people from Xbox watch and listen to this podcast. Maybe our opinion will be what makes the difference.
Yeah, we're okay. We're going to try our best each and every week. And with that, we're out of here. Have another great week, gamers out there. Enjoy yourself. Of course, we're approaching spring into summer. Minecraft Legends right around the corner. Of course, you have Redfall coming in the first week of May. So we have games to talk about. We have games to play. And we'll see you here each and every week on Thursdays to talk all things Xbox at Kinda Funny. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for rocking with us. We'll catch you next week. See you, gamers.